Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The 100th annual East-West Shrine Bowl going to be played at AT&T Stadium on Thursday, January 30th. That is tomorrow. Tickets are available at ShrineBowl.com, and Andrew Whitworth is part of the 2025 Hall of Fame class alongside Eddie George. And Andrew is joining us now in the home of the Cowboys with Sean, RJ, and Bobby on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, man. Congratulations. How have you been?
Good morning, fellas. I'm doing great, man. It's good to be back in this game. Shoot, it had to be 19 years ago, I guess, or something that I played in this thing. So it'll be fun to be back and kind of have some of those memories.
Take us through some of the memories. Like, who did you compete against? You know, some of the practices where you're like, okay, this is a measuring stick moment for me right here against this big prospect or this big name.
Yeah, I think you think of those moments. I mean, just how nervous you are. It's your first, interview, if you will, or audition for playing sports at the highest possible level, something you've dreamed to do your entire life. So I can remember probably less of those moments of actual competition and more of the standing around with other guys and the nerves you had and the conversations you're having about what does your agent say about this and what has this team said to you? You know, just all those things. We're all just speculating where you might go and what might happen next. But also form some relationships that I'll, you know, always remember. I mean, Bruce Gretkowski is a guy that I can remember from that game and ended up playing with him later in years. Marquise Colston, Greg Jennings, and some other guys that, like, just some cool names that, you know, throughout the years you end up playing with some of those guys. And you'll always have that memory of really that time you were all together and you had no idea what your future would look like. And you're just giving your best effort in front of these coaches in a big moment.
Did you know going into that, like, you had the belief, like, I know I'm a really good player. I know I can play in the NFL. Or did you have to have a lot of other prove-it moments once you got into the league in order to know that you belonged?
Yeah, I think once you get in the league, you have those moments that kind of help you, you know, show you that you belong. I think that week is a little more of probably trying to figure out where you stand, you know, with the group that's coming in and you know, what your level of play is and possibilities are. And also, I think, too, some of the guys who might not have played a lot of the pro game or played styles in the sense of what you're going to play in the pros, some of those coaches, because they're coming from the NFL to help coach, they're kind of putting you in those scenarios and putting you in more things that are going to look more like what a real football play in the NFL is going to look like. And maybe even, hey, here's what winning and losing at this level looks like compared to college. And so you're getting a little feel of the standard that you're going to be expected to practice at and what it's going to look like, because sometimes in college it may not be as competitive at some schools compared to that when you're going against the best of the best, which is what an NFL practice is going to look like from a competition standpoint every snap.
Andrew Whitworth joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Andrew, you mentioned when you were standing out there and just the nerves that you felt, just, oh, I'm going to have my first meeting with a team or the way these practices are, and you still feel a little, I guess, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at that moment. In this newer era where we see guys like Jaden Daniels who will skip certain workouts, or Marvin Harrison, or guys who show up to Shrine where it's like, well, I'm going to show up, but I'm not going to practice, and I'm just going to interact with people. How much do you think the culture has changed in terms of the new NFL player because of the NIL era?
I think it's changed a lot. And I think when you think about now what the league is and even the college game, it's totally different than anything I experienced. And really for me to even speak to really that NIL world, I wouldn't know anything about it. But, back in my day, it just involved cash envelope, guys. But you listen, you know, there's a whole different thing. I would say now it's totally different, and the expectations are different too. I think these guys, they play a lot. We see them play. The exposure in college football is night and day different. And I think to me, it doesn't bother me that much. Some of these guys that have proven themselves and feel like they're comfortable with who they are and what they've shown. But I also think it's good for them to go that week, be around, you know, say hey to the guys, get to meet people and do those interviews, because you're really, when you get to the next level, you better know the talent and the skill level. You may just be checking off some boxes at these practices and just kind of seeing how they compete and stuff, but you're worried about the human. I mean, you want to know who the human being is, what drives them, what makes them tick, you know, how they're built, how they interact around their buddies. I think it's good to be able to see some of that with other teammates and some of the other guys there, how they interact, because it's going to show you a little bit of what they'll be like in the NFL. Because I think sometimes we forget about that. In the NFL, all 53 guys on that roster were the dude in college. They were the guy. And so they have an ego. They have confidence in who they are and how they carry themselves. And then when you put all those dudes in the same room, that's why you see locker rooms in the NFL that have good cultures and others that don't. And so it's good to see some of these kids in those scenarios with some other alphas and see how they act and see how they adapt to it.
Whit, what was your reaction when you heard the Cowboys were hiring Brian Schottenheimer?
You know, obviously it heard whispers that it was possible. Obviously shocked like everybody else that was, really at the end of the day, their final decision, but not crazily shocked, only because it felt like really how the process went from the beginning. This was not going to be a normal candidate that you would have thought of, because they didn't really, they didn't make a decision to end the season, and then it delayed into past the time to interview some of those top candidates that week that they were on the bye. So then you're like, all right, well, you didn't even do your due diligence, really. So truth is, this is going to become an awkward hire situation anyways, unless you're waiting until all this is over and you can get to all those guys again. It kind of felt like it was something where they had a little bit of an idea of where they might go if McCarthy wasn't the answer. And then on the flip side of it, I love Shoddy, and all the times I've gotten to be around him, he's a great human being. I can see why Dak loves him a lot. I can see why maybe to them they feel like there's this, if you will, like an opportunity to build like a culture and a character, to a vibe to their team that's a little different than maybe they've had in the past. Because he's a guy that, man, he is going to wear his emotions. He's going to have a blast. He's going to create a fun environment. They're going to compete. And I think we can't judge it until we get an opportunity to see what this guy looks like with his shot. Because I know players across the league, organizations that I've been around where he's been, they love Brian Schottenheimer, and they think he's an awesome human being. And I think that's a good place to start in this league, this day and age, because we see a lot of the time these relationships these coaches have sound like some of the most important parts of their level of going and getting success.
Andrew Whitworth joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. You were in the West with him in Seattle, right? Like, you competed against when he was on that staff.
Yes, and and then he was also, at one time with the Rams, and so a lot of people that were carryover from that, group that are still there were around him and have shared nothing but great things about him. And, and obviously Richard Sherman, who, I got to do Thursday Night Football with every week during the season, was around Shoddy too. So a lot of guys that, they think a lot about him and have always walked away, enjoying being around him as a coach. And I think that's the first place to start. And who he looks like as a head coach, we have no idea, because here's the reality, guys. I mean, we see coordinators get hired all the time that we think are absolute insane coordinators at whatever they do, and they're a disaster as a head coach, and they're not good leaders, and they're not all these things. So who are we to say that just because we don't know the level of this guy when he's a head coach that we know what it looks like? And maybe when he's in a head coach position and gets to do things the exact way he wants to do it, maybe he's got a mind frame and a headset that he creates something that's a really good opportunity for them to be successful, and lays out a plan that the players buy into. And so to me, I think it's going to be great to give him a shot. Yeah, is it what we all expected, the way we all thought it would go? Do we feel like the Cowboys did the best they can absolutely do? No. But do I think Brian Schottenheimer deserves his opportunity? And am I going to give him his chance to show us what he's capable of? Heck yeah. I'm excited to see it, because I know the human's an awesome dude, and I look forward to seeing him take his shot and see what he's got.
A criticism of Shoddy in those Seattle offenses were being conservative, like too old school with Pete and running the ball too much. Did you think of that while you were playing them? And what do you think of that criticism for Cowboy fans who are scared of him calling this offense?
Well, I think you've got a guy in Dak Prescott who's shown your ability to throw the football and honestly has been, a part of some great offenses over the last few years. So they're going to be able to throw the football effectively. They have a great receiver in CeeDee Lamb. Like, being able to complete and connect on those opportunities is not going to be hard for them with those two guys. So, first and foremost, and that's where you start with your best players. But when you look at the system, I mean, look where we are. I mean, I would say that in those years that we're talking about, that was a little bit of a different league, and the offenses were molding into more throwing the ball. And you look at really where we are now, we're actually headed the other direction. And some of the best teams in the league run the football extremely well, or they, if they don't, they've got a really dynamic quarterback who also uses his legs and creates and those kind of things. So I think when you look at Dak Prescott, some of his best years in the NFL have been when he's using his legs out of the pocket as a thrower, when he's able to use his legs to get out of the pocket. So now you start developing this run game and marrying it to your pass game, where you enter some play action, some boots, some rolls, some of the things Dak did early in his career and was really successful. I don't see any reason why he won't be successful in that. And I think that's one of the reasons they did it, is that Dak and his relationship's really strong. And I just think this league, if you look across it, the teams that are the most successful, the NFC North is one of our best divisions in football. What did all those teams do? They ran the crap out of the football. And the Detroit Lions, you know, obviously, Green Bay Packers. Then you look at Philadelphia, where they're at. You look at what really the Commanders, when they were at their best, what they're able to do is run the football. So I think, to me, look, the league has changed. And if he can continue to evolve that offense, I think it's going to look a little different with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb involved instead of Russell Wilson. But I don't see why that can't be successful, because to me, I look around it and go, man, there's some teams that I wish they ran it more right now, because I think they'd have more success.
When you got to L.A., it was also McVay's first year, and he had never been a head coach. And, you know, the going from an assistant to a head coach, learning how to run a team, learning the culture, learning how to be a leader. How different was McVay first year versus how he grew into that and his ability to lead and stuff?
I would say this. Listen, I'm obviously somebody who's biased in this conversation, but I would say that people have been around him, you know, now that he's had an opportunity to have so many daggone people leave the organization to become head coaches. Sean McVay is a pretty much in that category of a unicorn of those kind of guys. I would put him in a rare situation. He's been an insane, incredible leader from the second he started, but like, I put Sean McVay in the conversation of somebody who was literally born and created to be the CEO or head guy of anything. Like, Sean could walk in any company in the world and be the leader of the company. Like, that's just who he is, how he's wound, his ability to communicate, articulate his plan, his vision, to grab the attention of everybody in the room, yet also be entertaining and inspiring and challenging, is just, it's a very, very rare level. And so to me, I think there's going to be some challenges. Obviously, things Sean had to learn over time, and it was more things like he had to navigate within himself of how to handle things emotionally, how to handle or react to things, how to move forward and make decisions. That's that head coaching role that we forget. That's why we see these coordinators struggle, because when you're the head coach, it's not about calling plays. It becomes about all the other mess. I mean, you are literally putting out fires, trying not to let fires get started all throughout the building, with personalities, with things going on with their families, with contract situations, with who's not getting the ball, who is, you know, who's getting to play, who's not, you know, who somebody else in the building doesn't even have to do with football that's affecting football. I mean, that's your life. So it is a different position, and it requires different traits to be able to handle it really well.
Andrew Whitworth, the Super Bowl champ, joining us on behalf of the East-West Shrine Bowl. He is getting inducted along with Eddie George to the Hall of Fame here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm hearing a little bit of the West Monroe come out in some of these answers. Is it true that you all don't believe anyone outside of the state can cook crawfish? And B, where do we need to go in New Orleans when we head out there for the Super Bowl Monday?
Man, listen, there's going to be plenty of good opportunities to go places in New Orleans when you get there. Just find your local po' boy shop and go get you a couple fried shrimp po' boys. That's the first thing I'll be doing when I get there. I promise you that. But, you know, it comes out, especially when I get down there. Listen, all my friends that know me in L.A. and in California, and then Thursday Night Football and everything else, they're going to be shocked when we get down there. My voice will immediately change when I get in New Orleans. All the slang will start to come out. So, yeah, I'm getting close, just getting antsy thinking about it. So I can't wait, man. It's going to be a great week. New Orleans is an awesome host city for the Super Bowl. We're going to have a blast.
Is it true that I'm talking to a fellow great youth tennis champion, RJ?
I saw that. I don't know what 6'7", 300 pounds looks like on a tennis court, though.
No way.
Well, you got to remember now, I was a tight end in high school, so I always give credit to Nick Saban. He's the one that, he was the first coach to actually be honest with me. He said, listen, you ain't playing tight end in college or the NFL. you're going to be a left tackle for a really long time as soon as you realize that. So that's how I changed positions. But to go to that story, fantastic. It's one of those things when you're in college, they're asking you for something for your bio, for the East-West Shrine game or for the combine, you know, to kind of say that you're a multi-sport athlete. I may have alluded to I won a championship. What I meant was I won like a tournament. And, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those things the sports director put in the bio. People kind of took it everywhere. Listen, guys, it became I was like a high school state champion in tennis by a couple years in my career. I'm like, I got to stop this whole narrative. I won the local tennis club's like 9 and 10 year old tennis tournament one summer. And they gave me a Little Caesars like Bigfoot pizza to myself. That's the only thing I won. I wasn't a tennis champion by any means other than getting to eat pizza and enjoy my favorite Pepsi.
But you are my age, so you had to have picked, and I guarantee I know your answer. Were you Agassi or Sampras?
Oh, I was Agassi. I'm left-handed. Come on, baby. Wild Thing. The Wild Thing racket. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Andrew Whitworth joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for the time, man. We really appreciate it. Love having you on, and congratulations, and enjoy everything happening out there at AT&T.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas. It's going to be a great week.
See you soon in New Orleans. Andrew Whitworth on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's crosstalk with the K&C Masterpiece next.